Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus 4. And if you need a Bible, there are Bibles in the back that I'm sure someone would be glad to loan you. Exodus chapter 4. We're going to only read a very few verses, and I'm going to talk less long because of this testimony, but also another testimony we want to make time for at the end. And so this is fairly abbreviated tonight. Exodus chapter 4. We read verses 10 through 14. Hear then the words of our God. But Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Then the Lord said to him, Who made man's mouth? Who made him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will go with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. But he said, O my Lord, please send someone else. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Moses, to our surprise, had a disability. Now, we never think of Moses, of all people, this guy mightily used of God, this man known for the volume of teaching that God used to bring through him. Moses able to stand before Pharaoh and all of Israel. He's the least guy we think of as having any kind of disability. But he knew he did, and he knew what it was. I'm slow of speech and of tongue. Moses explains to us the pervasiveness of this sense of disability that he speaks of here. Actually, there are several Bible characters who have disabilities. And we, again, seldom see that as we read right through, for example, this portion of Exodus 3 and 4, where God calls Moses. We're going to be doing a 2 or 3 part series on this subject of lessons from the struggles of the disabled. And not only is it something notable in the Bible that there are people who struggle with their disabilities, but in fact, many of us here, don't worry, I won't ask for a show of hands, many of us here struggle with disabilities as well. We don't think that there are very many people here who have disabilities because we don't see them, but we know we do have one. And some of us, it may be reading struggles that you had in the past. Some of us, it's academic. Some of us, it's mechanical, sports struggles. There are people here who have mechanical disabilities and challenges. There are people here who have relational struggles and struggle to know how to relate well to others. There are people who have social inabilities and disabilities. Many of us here face disabilities. Martin Luther said, It is the duty of every Christian to be Christ to his neighbor, to show Christ to people all around us. But as Doug made reference to, Joni Erickson Tata, herself disabled, said that the biggest people group, unreached people group, in America, the biggest unreached people group in America is our disabled friends. The disabled are oftentimes not reached out to. Oftentimes, they don't know the love of Christ because many of us, like Doug, feel unsure, unable, frozen, not sure how to reach out in love to them. And certainly we wouldn't know how to tell them of Christ. And this church is growing in that way. It's very exciting to me to see our progress and our growth in our love for and our care for and our ability to speak to the disabled. As Doug was saying, it's not our job to minister to them, it's our job to minister with them. And so we look at this life of Moses, himself, a man expressing to God and to the people around him of his inability. Let's look at it for a few minutes. Moses the disabled. And he's disabled for two reasons. First of all, because he has an actual speech trouble of some kind. We're not sure what this speech trouble was. He says, "I'm slow of speech and of tongue." And the Lord said, "Who made man's mouth? Who made him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" Moses' inability, though, goes beyond just simply the disability to the paralyzing fear that this brings. And you and I, those of us at least who are disabled, know that that's true of us too. That because of our disability, we cover it up. We're very fearful to share it. We're not sure we've ever really overcome it. But it is a major fear in our life. For me, it was reading. I was a very poor reader in my young years. I've hardly ever told anybody about this because it is a fearful thing for me to admit. And when you're a poor reader, just simply you're a poor student, period. And so I never remember getting anything higher than a C, mostly D's and F in grade school. And it became a very fearful thing, a very pervasive thing in my life and in my learning. And I was afraid. I was afraid a lot of what people would think. I was afraid of failure, and I was afraid in a lot of ways. Moses was afraid. He was afraid because God was sending him to do something that he knew required him to be a clear and good speaker. And it's interesting how the I am of this passage is not about the Lord, is it? You see, he just heard from God, God tell him, "I am Yahweh." But see, the I am in this passage is in verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I am not eloquent." You see, the I am in this passage is all focused on self and my inability. And that's where Moses began. God had just told Moses, "I am Yahweh," and all that that means in God being the enabler, in God being sovereign, self-sustaining, self-determining, and self-existing. And yet, God says, "I am," and Moses says, "I am not." And that's the disability as well. So there's a double layer of disability that those of us who are disabled deal with. God says, "I am." And he goes on then to have to show to Moses for these next 40 years the great I am. Henry H. Haley, the writer of Haley's Bible Handbook. Some of you older people know that book. It's kind of a real popular Bible handbook of the 60s and 70s. Henry Haley said this, "Moses spent 40 years in Egypt thinking he was someone. 40 years in the wilderness, finding out that he was no one. And then 40 years with the people of God, going towards God's goal and purpose for them, finding out that God can use a nobody. God can use someone who begins to understand, as Moses does now, that God can and will use someone who's slow of speech. We had a son born to us who also had a pretty severe disability. And those of you who know Brad, when he was quite small, my son, he too had a speech impediment. He could hardly get a sentence out, particularly around Christmas time, because he got so excited about everything that he would stumble over his words. I have a recording of him saying the night before Christmas, it took him about 10 minutes to get through that because he was struggling so badly with his speech fluency problem. I had a speech therapist, a friend of mine, come to us early on and say, "You better get that boy checked out. He's got a severe problem." We shared this with Brad about Moses, and he became very excited. He said, "I'm just like Moses." And God brings this to Moses and said, "Who made man's mouth? Who made man blind or deaf or dumb or seeing?" We see it in Proverbs 20, verse 12. "But the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both." God says, "I'm the one that's responsible for your condition." Carla Blackwood was directionally challenged. Carla could hardly follow a set of directions. To get from home over to visit one of her friends was a major challenge for her. She shared it with me one time. These are the kinds of disabilities we all struggle with, and many of us have. And God says, "I am." And so God over time took Moses, who complained to God, who was so self-conscious, and interestingly enough, he sent him a volunteer. He sent him a person to be with him, to walk with him through this disability and inability. And God transformed Moses' life. God says in the calling of Jeremiah, "Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See that I have set before you today a commission and a calling.'" God is dealing with Moses kindly and yet firmly to show Moses both his inability and God's ability. See, that's the difference between what grace is. Grace is about us, but it's the difference between who we are by ourselves and who we are with the grace of God working within us. Moses saw and heard the sovereign creator confront him about this question and begin to provide for him the grace that was needed. Paul says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness." See, we want to serve God in our strengths, in our ability areas. That's where we want to serve God. But many times he calls us to serve him in those areas of weakness. And that's how God begins to slowly pump into our lives his grace, to bring into our lives his grace. And so, Blaise Pascal observed a very interesting thing about hydraulics, that you could take a liquid and pump it with a fairly low pressure, and that low pressure could raise huge weights. It's the basic principle of hydraulics that Blaise Pascal discovered that we have learned a great deal more about in modern times. And so when that man goes over, you pull your car into the service station and underneath a lift, and that man turns on the lift, and that small amount of liquid pressure in that tube lifts your entire car up out of the, off the ground into the air. It's because of this principle that a small pressure can raise great weights and great heights. And so in the life of Moses, day by day, God began to bring his grace. Not suddenly, not all of a sudden. You see, that's what we want. We want sudden healing from this inability, this disability. But we begin to see here in the life of Moses that he fills him as an empty vessel. He fills Moses over time with his spirit and enables Moses. And we see the growth, the change in the life of Moses in this disability that becomes Moses' greatest ability to be the spokesman for God in his day. And we know now that there's hardly anyone that was more wonderfully used of God in the speaking of the Word of God than Moses was. We want to serve God in the areas of our ability, in our strengths. God oftentimes uses his servants in the areas of their disability. God disables our disabilities. Sometimes he takes them away. May we pray together. Lord, as we now come to the communion table, we pray that you teach us more lessons from the struggles of the disabled. Lord, in our own areas of disability, and also as we seek to be useful in showing the love of Christ to those who also struggle with their disabilities, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.